Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration is from Matthew chapter 2, the Magi visiting the Messiah, the gospel appointed for Epiphany Sunday. I'll read that now. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace to you from the Maker of the heavens and the Savior of the nations. Amen. Stirred by God, they traveled thousands of miles. Collectively, they walked hundreds of thousands of steps. From the moment they arrived in town, they went to work. Their hearts and minds were consumed by their mission. Inspired by the promises that God had given them, they searched eagerly and excitedly in an unfamiliar place. And yesterday afternoon, the seven of them returned home, not by camel, but by commercial flight. This week, our congregation had the privilege, the honor of hosting a campus ministry group from Wisconsin. Seven young people arrived on Monday morning, January 1st, and got to work pretty much right away. After lunch and about an hour's worth of training, we hit the streets and brought flyers like you received this morning to the homes of the people in our immediate community. The next day, we did some training on how to talk to people at the door and how to conduct a community survey. And then on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we knocked on doors and asked people what they loved about where they lived, what would make life better, and if there was anything we could pray for. Each time we host a team like this, it's an exhilarating and also an exhausting experience. For a week, we run pretty much wide open. We try and make the most of every moment of daylight. For a week, we have maps to read, flyers to hang, and then thank you notes to write. For a week, we try and have meals and adventures planned out for them. And of course, there are things that come up that we did not expect, but since God planned them, we do our best to roll with the punches and make the most of the opportunities He has for us. It's a good week. I'm glad we do it. I'm grateful for all your help in making trips and teams like this happen, but I know that I would run out of steam if it lasted much longer than it does. I know this because I've been on the other side of these mission trips. I've gone to Florida and Texas a couple of times, and even spent a summer doing this work in Queens. That experience is part of why I'm always so impressed by the Magi, these mysterious travelers from the East. as we read about them, we have so many questions, right? Who were they? How many of them were there? Where exactly did they come from? How did they know about this one who had been born king of the Jews? And there's so much about them that we can't know, because scripture doesn't reveal it. Many people have backfilled their backgrounds in interesting ways. The Magi have been called kings, magicians, soothsayers, fortune tellers, astrologers, and astronomers. What we do know about these men is that they look to the stars for meaning and direction in life. That's why we meet them in Herod's palace in Jerusalem, with a simple question: where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? Now, we might wonder, how did they know? Maybe it was kind of the fallout of the Babylonian captivity. Remember, wise men like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken from Israel to live in a powerful nation in the east. Maybe during this time, star students learned of Balaam's prophecy from Numbers 24. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. A ruler will come out of Jacob. At the same time, we must acknowledge that we don't know the who, the where, the how, or even how many, because those things are far less important than the why. The Magi are very clear about why they were there. We saw his star, and we have come to worship him. Now remember, these men are not Jews. They are foreigners who more than likely practiced idol worship of some kind, but they've come to Jerusalem to find a king and worship him. And maybe that strikes us as a little strange, but what's even more strange is how the local leaders, chief priests, teachers of the law, even the people of Jerusalem respond. For a moment, imagine this scene. There's a group of strange men that show up. They talk differently, they dress differently, but they are searching for a boy that's been born. They view him as a baby king. Their presence and Herod's reaction stir up the whole city. Matthew tells us that all Jerusalem was disturbed with King Herod. Now, part of this is because Herod was a paranoid guy, and foreigners showing up just stoked the flames. But this question about where is the one born king of the Jews feels threatening to Herod. So he demands answers from the people's chief priests and teachers of the law. He asks them, where is the Messiah to be born? And they don't have to dig through the scriptures. They know, in Bethlehem, 6 miles away. So now everyone knows. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, the Magi, and Herod. But only one group goes right now. The Magi, the foreigners, the idol-worshipping star followers. And maybe that surprises us, but it really shouldn't. Because far too often, in more subtle ways, this contrast describes us. There are times where God calls us to go and do something, right? And we choose comfort. We cut corners. We take shortcuts. Now, God hasn't called you to travel many, many miles to a little sleepy town outside of a capital city to see a baby and worship him. But God does say that one of the ways that you can demonstrate your fear, love, and trust in God is by how you treat your spouse, your parents, your enemies, those who hate you. God says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. He says, children, obey your parents in all things. In Matthew 5, he tells us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, to do good even to those who hate us. Yet we tend to love only the people that we already like. We love only because it benefits us in the short term. We submit when it's convenient, only to keep the peace. We obey only when someone's watching or we think we'll be punished if we don't. In so many different ways, In our thoughts, words, and actions, we do the bare minimum, just enough to keep the peace, just enough to keep ourselves out of trouble, but not enough to fool God, not enough to stand righteous before Him, not enough to justify ourselves. See, how we respond to what God says reveals something about us, doesn't it? God demands, and far too often we don't do. We choose comfort, we cut corners, we take the path of least resistance. As we compare ourselves to these magi today, it's hard not to be put to shame by their effort, their exuberance. They went the extra mile. We often choose to remain right where we are. But the truth is, the magi are not the focal point of Epiphany. That's not all that's being revealed by Matthew's gospel. The point of Epiphany is not how the magi worshipped, it's whom they worshipped. These men came from the east as magi. They left as wise men. Because in Bethlehem they met the King of Kings, the one God had promised to send, whose birth He had announced with a star. God still reveals His plan of salvation, Himself, in the same way. Yes, the details are different for us than for the Magi, but look at the methods. God still reveals Himself to lost people in much the same fashion. Think about it. The Magi were drawn first by a natural phenomenon. God tells us that He does reveal Himself in nature. You see it when you look up at the stars. That's a humbling and awesome experience, isn't it? Well, King David wrote what happens in Psalm 19. He says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They may have no speech, they may use no words, but their voice goes out into all the earth." God speaks through the things that He makes. In the same way that a builder, an architect, says something by what they design and construct. So what God has made tells us something about Him, but this revelation is incomplete. It can tell us that God exists, that He's wise, powerful, but it doesn't tell us who God is, and it doesn't tell us all He does. For that, we need God's word, just like the Magi. See, the star brought them to Israel. Their logic led them to Jerusalem, because that's where kings are from. But only the word of God could point them to Bethlehem, a little town among the clans of Judah. Through creation, God has always revealed His power. Through His word, God reveals His plan. He began revealing that plan in the Garden of Eden. He told Eve that one of her descendants would be her deliverer. Then He narrowed it down further. A descendant of Abraham, then Isaac, Jacob, finally Judah. Then God said He would send the Messiah from David's throne. In Isaiah, He promised that this son of the promise would be born of a virgin. And in Micah, He assured Israel that this child would be born in Bethlehem. Really, the great mystery left was the timing. And for that, God also sent angels to announce Jesus' birth. Jesus is the promised Son, the Messiah that the Magi met and immediately worshipped. They knew they were coming face to face with the Maker of heaven and earth. The one who created celestial beings with His breath was a breathing little baby. They came as Magi, they left as wise men because they had met wisdom in the flesh. That is why they thought nothing of ignoring Herod's orders. They were living by faith. They obeyed God rather than man and returned home by another route. You and I know so much more than they did, though. Like the Magi, we were once foreigners to the promise. We were once without hope and without God, but we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You know exactly how He came to seek and save the lost. You know how He had pity on exasperated parents, sick children, the lame and the blind. You know how nature responded to the power of His word. Storms were stilled, fig trees withered and died. But Jesus came to do more than miracles. He came to offer His life as a sacrifice for ours. He came to go the extra mile, to suffer and die for all of our guilt and shame, to make atonement for every single one of our sins, to make us good enough perfect. By faith, you and I have seen so much more than the Magi too. By grace, we have been made wise for salvation. So how can we not go the extra mile? How can we not want to know him better? How can we not want to bring him glory in everything that we think, say, and do? How can we not want to praise God in our God-given roles as a husband or wife, a parent or child, a leader or a citizen? How can we not want others to know this child as their Lord and Savior too? And that is what Epiphany calls us to be and do. God has revealed himself and his plan of salvation through his creation, and most clearly, most importantly, through his word. It is through that word and through that those sacraments that God has made you little lights. God has called you to serve like stars in this time of darkness. Here's what I mean. The stars are pretty cool, right? But they have a very specific role. They offer just a little bit of light and a little bit of direction. They govern this time between the sun's last rising and its next coming. So it is for us. As Christians, we are called to reflect a little light in this world of darkness, to offer people direction, not direction to ourselves and our ideas, but to direct people to the Son of God, to the wisdom that he offers, to the salvation that he has accomplished. We want to see people that Jesus came, who he came for, and why he came. And finally, we will assure people that Jesus is returning again soon. We will declare the glory of God. We will proclaim the works of his hands. Night after night, we will reveal knowledge because we are the brilliant stars that God has fashioned and made. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name once again is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to proclaim to you the epiphany of our Lord, that Jesus came to bring light to the world, to accomplish God's plan of salvation, and then to announce that plan through us, his people. If you'd like to learn more about God's plan of salvation and how God has called and made you to be a little light in this world of darkness, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll find opportunities to join us for public worship, to learn more about what we believe and teach, and if you have any questions about God's Son, I invite you to reach out to me through our website as well. May God continue to bless and keep you as you let your light shine. Until next time.